Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY23 earnings conference call of Ashoka Buildcon Limited, hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikram Suryavanshi from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Michelle. Thank you. Good afternoon and very warm welcome to everyone. Thank you for being on the call of Ashoka Buildcon Limited. We are happy to have the management with us here today for question and answer session with the investment community. The management is represented by Mr. Satish Parakh, Managing Director, and Mr. Paresh Mehta, Chief Financial Officer. Before we start with the question and answer session, we have some opening remarks from the management. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Satish Parakh for opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vikram. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to extend a warm welcome to everyone on this earnings call for the fourth quarter and full year ended 31st March 2023. I have Mr. Paresh Mehta, our CFO, and SGA, our investor relation partner, along with me on the call. During the quarter gone by, in March 2023, company, along with the North Haven India Infrastructure Fund, an India-focused infrastructure fund managed by Morgan Stanley Investment Management Private Limited, has entered into a share purchase agreement with Mahanagar Gas Limited to sell its equity stake in its subsidiary, Unison Enviro Private Limited, UEPL, for a total consideration of INR 531 crores for 100% stake. The transaction is subject to satisfaction of some customary conditions, including approval by Petroleum and Natural Gas Regulatory Board and lenders of UEPL, and is expected to be completed by 31st March 2024. Just to reiterate, the company has 51% stake in Unison Enviro. Similarly, the company has earlier entered into SPA with National Investment and Infrastructure Fund, NIIF, for sale of Jaora-Nayagaon BOT toll project and Chennai ORR project. The company continues to work toward achieving specific condition precedent as per the respective SPAs. Now, I'd like to touch upon the mutual termination of SPA with Galaxy Investments II Private Limited, which is an affiliate of KKR. We have been in continuous discussion with Galaxy for achieving various CPs as per the SPA. However, there has been unanticipated delays. Based on our discussions with KKR, we have mutually reassessed the transaction and then agreed to terminate the SPA without any financial implication to either party. I would like to highlight that we have reinitiated the divestment process and our discussion with various investors and parties. We are also divesting 11 HAM projects, and discussions are at advanced stage. We will keep all of you abreast on the progress of the same. Today on this call, I would like to clarify regarding the debarment of company and subsequent cancellation of EPC project on 7th March 2023. We received communication from MoRTH regarding the company's debarment for 45 days on 25th January. We have received LOA of the EPC project worth 2,161 crores. Subsequently, the authority has annulled the bidding process and has invited a fresh bid for the said project. I would like to highlight that the debarment expired on 15th April 2023 and company is eligible to participate in all the bids being called by various authorities including NHAI. Coming to the order book status, as on 31st March 2023, order book stands at 15,805 crores, and as on date, it stands at rupees 18,090 crores, including projects awarded after 31st March 2023. In road construction, company has bagged another award from Ministry of Transport and Bridges, Government of Bangladesh, for the project improvement of Bariat-Henko-Ramgarh, widening and reconstruction of existing pavement for an accepted contract value of $80 million. In Power T&D infrastructure development, company received notification of awards in the state of Maharashtra from Maharashtra State Electricity and Distribution Company, MECDCL, and in Bihar from North as well as South Bihar Power Distribution Company Limited for development of distribution of infrastructure for an accepted contract value of INR 2285 crores and 632 crores respectively. In Railways, company received letter of acceptance from Ministry of Railways for an EPC project in connection with Gwalior-Sheparkulam GC project from North Central Railway for accepted contract value of 285 crores. Let me reiterate that the focus remains on build strong EPC business in segments of highway, railways, power, T&D and buildings and hybrid annuity projects of NHAI. A balanced order book as on 31st March 2023 is INR 15,805 crores. The breakup of the order book for roads and railway projects comprise of 9,595 crores, which is 61% of the total order book. Among the road project order book, HAM projects are to the tune of 1,728 crores and EPC road projects are worth 6,318 crores and railway is around 1,549 crores. Power T&D and others account for around 3,965 crores, which is approximately 25% of the total order book. The total EPC building segment is under 2,221 crores, which is 14% of the total order book, and EPC work of CGD business comprises of balance 25 crores. This is all from my side. I would now request Mr. Paresh Mehta to present the financial performance of Q4 and full fiscal year 2023. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Good afternoon to one and all present on this call. The result presentation and the press release for the quarter have been uploaded on the stock exchange and the company's website. You must have had an opportunity to go through the same. Here, let me introduce that SGA Growth Advisors have been appointed as our IR from this quarter onwards. So they will be taking care of all the requirements of the investors, information as well as any guidance from the company's side. Of course, the company also will be available at any time for information. Now I'll present the financial results for the fourth quarter ended March 31, 2023. Starting with the standalone numbers, the total income for Q4 FY23 stood at INR 2,067.9 crores, as compared to INR 1,622.7 crores in the corresponding quarter last year, registering a growth of 27%. EBITDA for the quarter was 174.4 crores with an EBITDA margin of 8.4%. EBITDA margins have been impacted mainly due to inflation pressures, high competitive bidding in some of the projects. The profits before tax stands at 108.7 crores, before accounting of exceptional gains of INR 349.2 crores, which is on account of reversal of impairments on its investments and loans in its subsidiaries, including ACL. The reported PPT is INR 457.8 crores and PAT is INR 434.8 crores. For the full fiscal year 2023, total revenue was INR 6,478 crores, up by 35% year on year. The EBITDA stood at INR 639.4 crores with a margin of 9.9%. The profit before tax stands at INR 424.1 crore before accounting for exceptional gains as highlighted earlier. If you recollect, during FY22, we had recognized 769.6 crores as exceptional expenses on account of impairment of investment loans in subsidiaries including ACL. Just to elaborate, during FY22, the exceptional expenses of 769.6 crores pertained to an impairment of our investments in ACL and measurement of our obligation towards investors in ACL. However, during FY23, we have reversed these impairments on our investments in ACL and also reversed obligation towards investors in ACL due to increase in valuation of ACL, mainly on account of increased cash flow in its HAM projects, constant to increase in interest receivables on annuity payments. Reported profit after tax for FY23 stood at INR 671.3 crores. Coming to the consolidated results, the total income of Q4 FY23 grew by 20% year on year to INR 2,478 crores as compared to INR 2,057 crores in Q4 FY22. EBITDA stood at INR 585.2 crores for Q4 FY23 with a margin of 23.6%. Reported profit after tax is at INR 334.2 crores in Q4 FY23. For full fiscal year 2023 on consolidated basis, total income was INR 8,235.1 crores, up by 34% year on year. The EBITDA stood at INR 2,103.4 crores and a margin of 25.5%. Reported profit for tax stood at INR 372.9 crores. During Q4 FY23, BOT division recorded a total collection of INR 309.9 crores as against INR 262.6 crores in Q4 FY22 and INR 291.4 crores in Q3 FY23. It may be noted here that the year-on-year growth on the five BOT projects, which was where we had signed an SPA with KKR, there the revenues have grown in the last year from 75 to 5 crores to 910 crores with a 22% jump in revenue. So the revenue growth has been robust in the past 2 years. Coming to debt, the total consolidated debt as on 31st March 2023 stood at 6,895 crores, of which project debt was INR 5,819 crores. Of which 2,732 crores stand for the five BOT projects. NCD stood at INR 200 crores at ACL level. The standalone debt is at INR 876 crores, which comprises of 134 crores of equipment loan and 742 crores of working capital loans. With this, we now open the floor for question answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. And thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, sir, on the deal which fell through. Why there was a delay? Is it due to NHAI or and wasn't there any scope for renegotiation with the same buyers? And the related question is, realistically, when do you think the new deal you'll be able to close?
Hello.
Yes.
Sir. Yeah. See, this deal we had been negotiating and we had almost taken 15 months. Basically, the biggest project, Dankuni, was a typical concession agreement where pre-COD condition was not envisaged or mentioned. We had final COD. And final COD happened very late because of the land acquisition issues in the project. And the contract agreement stated 2 years after final COD. Now, we were trying with NHAI to get relaxation, which they have given to HAM projects. But finally, we could not succeed in that. And there also timelines elapsed. So, in this, the project completely got, the deal completely got cancelled. As far as new deal, yes, we have already soft launched, the process has started. We have good inquiry. And as Paresh has said, the revenues have also gone. In last year, we have seen around 22% average growth in the revenues. So we feel we'll be able to close this deal in this year, financial year.
My second question is on this, sir. Of course, the execution-wise, last year was decent, but EBITDA margins were below par. Well, of course, we have asked this question again and again. But Q4 also, there was no jump in EBITDA margin compared to Q3. So realistically, based on the current order book, what is the kind of EBITDA margin one should bake in? It should be 9% is a fair assumption based on the current order book?
So you're right. What we discussed in Q3, the same situation will continue for another Q4, which is visible, and another 2 to 3 quarters. We believe Q4 margins will correct themselves to the normal margins which we used to declare in the previous years. So there are certain contracts which will of low margin which will get executed in this next 3 quarters, and most of it will get executed and completed then.
So we expect to get back to above 10% post. My last question, so we are again taking state distribution projects. I understand these are the reform development linked scheme. This is something where the working capital has been an issue in past. Do you think under the new RDSS scheme, it is expected to be far better? Do you think the payments are more regular? Have you got any comfort from the state discounts about the payment?
Yeah, earlier the 10% payment used to get locked for final completion, and even after completion of defect liability we used to get. Here we are going to get on part completion, so the payment terms are a little better than what we used to have earlier.
What is the kind of working capital you think? 6 months, last time it was 6 to 8 months was the regular, if I remember correctly, yeah.
So here the working capital would be in the range of 3 to 3.5 months, better than that, on an average collection of, point of view. Though there will be processes of payment on completion, but there will be part payments in between, which is take care of the overall what kind of a life of the working capital for these projects.
Understood, sir. Thank you, best of luck, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vasu Gupta from Green Portfolio Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, my question is on the recent order win of 2,284 crores from MSE DCL. Just wanted to know that management view on the counterparty risk in it, since MSE DCL in financial distress and is not able to pay its dues to power generators.
Yeah, these are 100% funded by PFC. They have a 60% grant and 40% loan being given for this project from PFC.
So you
these
don't
are completely funded, centrally funded, yeah.
Okay. So can you tell me what are the payment terms, any mobilization or advance received for the project?
Yeah, these have mobilization advance to the tune of 10%. We have not yet received, which we'll get in maybe this month or next month. And then Earlier, they used to pay only 90% till the completion. Now, as you complete a section, you will get, even for part completion, you are going to get your 100% payment. And only performance securities, which will remain up to different liability period.
Okay. My second question is on the investigation of the alleged bribery case. What are the views of the management on it?
So this is still, you know, they have to, we have to yet to receive complete information on this. This is what it was in the last call.
So the 45 days department.
The department period is over on 15th of April. Now we are able to bid for all the projects.
So the effect of it will no more there.
Beg your pardon?
The negative effect of the department will not be in the future.
No, there is no negative impact to any from the department or anybody here.
Okay, thank you. That's all. That's from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So you said that we are looking to monetize around 11 operational assets that we have. So what is the mode of monetization that we are looking at?
Excuse me, seven? We didn't follow. What was that, seven?
I said we are looking to monetize our operational assets, almost 11 operational assets we have.
HAM projects. Okay, HAM projects.
Yeah. So what is the mode of monetization that we're looking at?
It could be a sale to a property fund.
Okay. And so why aren't we looking at something like an InvIT or something?
We believe that we would like to exit 100% and not be a invested party, because then you end up holding more than at least 20-25% of the equity, continue to hold it for another 3 years. So we believe that instead of being a sponsor for the InvIT, rather than sell it to a fund who intends to create an InvIT, and accordingly we are negotiating for the pricing.
Okay, sir. And I understand you have mentioned earlier about the margins as well. So should we consider that by FY25 we will be coming back to double-digit margins?
Yes, sir.
Sure. So around 10-11%?
Yeah, 10-11% in the range of that, definitely.
Okay. And so what is the kind of order inflow guidance that we have for FY24? Let's say?
So FY24, we'll continue to bid for road projects definitely, and we'll try to take up road projects in the range of 6,000 to 8,000 for this year, partially in EPC business and partially in HAM projects. And the other sectors also we'll continue to bid and try to take orders to the tune of in the power approximately 3,000 to 4,000 crores, and other businesses in the range of 2,000 to 3,000 crores.
So in power, you mentioned, will these be linked to RDSS or will this be T&D as well?
Basically, RDSS schemes which are centrally funded.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So we're working in four sectors, basically roads, railways, buildings and power.
Yeah.
So roads will be our focus area to bag maximum orders. And HAM would be our preferred mode going ahead. Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjeev Kumar Damani from SKD Consulting. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Thank you, sir. Sir, my first question is regarding the fact that you have just now said that in next in three quarters of this year, you will be completing the low margin businesses pending orders. So, sir, can I know the quantum that we are targeting to complete in the next three target of the old orders? And can I also know the amount that of high margin business that we will execute in coming three quarters, current three quarters of current year? kindly reply, sir.
Yeah, I really don't have that information in that kind of a format which you're asking for. You could take it offline.
Okay. 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 Second thing is that, you know, our balance sheet is very heavily loaded and there are lot of subsidiaries. I mean, is there any thinking of the management to reduce the subsidiaries and make it a single company for better understanding of the analyst community? Is there any such plan of reducing the subsidiaries in coming days?
So our asset monetization plan is typically directed towards that. All these subsidiaries which are below our holding codes, hold code subsidiary, that is ACL, this is what we intend to monetize. So there are 11 HAM projects under various SPVs which are subsidiary of a subsidiary. Then there are six BOT projects, one big annuity project, and the CGD business. So all these we have already put it on the block for monetization, and we expect that within a year and so, we should be able to clean up, monetize most of it.
So my last question is regarding the fact that the time we were negotiating to sell certain projects, to monetize those road projects or some other projects, now the revenue from toll collection must have gone up. So do we see that we will be able to better realize the money from same assets now when we are negotiating?
Definitely, that's what the trend definitely shows. When we did the valuation in 2021, when we signed up a deal with KKR, that time revenues and the growth rates were not looking as positive, but things have changed substantially for the last 2 years, and definitely we see a better valuation stacking up for these beauty projects.
Sir, my salutation lastly, and all the regard for the kind of organization that you have created and the kind of work that you are executing for the growth of the country, and I wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rhea from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Ma'am, your audio is not clear.
Hello.
Yeah. Please continue.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity. My first question is in regard with the debt levels. So currently we are at around 6,800 crores at consolidated level. So what are the plans to reduce this? I understand that majority part of it is because of the projects. So what are the plans in the next coming 2 years? How do we plan to reduce the debt levels?
So as it's a follow-on of effect of the monetization of assets, once we have the assets monetized, almost 6,000 crores of our debt will go off the consolidated balance sheet. And also once we recognize get the equity money into the company, the standalone debt also could be reduced substantially so that the debt levels could be substantially low in the coming two years' time.
I believe that the monetization is completed by the year end, it would take more some time to get consummated. So in FY24, it seems difficult to reduce the debt levels. Is it fair to assume?
No, FY24, at least on the HAM projects, the Chennai Oral project and the Jaora-Nayagaon and KKR. So the KKR five projects which we had sold to them, they will come on the block too. And there is a good possibility that this could exchange hands. Just to back up, the reason being that most of the process being run at NHI level and at the lenders level were done for the previous deal. Now everything is ready for. We will be in a better position to crunch the timings. And if not FY24, definitely first half of the FY25, we should see most of the assets, the process over for monetization.
Okay, I understand. My second question is in regard to the order book. I understand you said that the growth area would be roads and we are focusing on power as well. So I believe post-election, the ordering for roads would see a little slowdown. So for the next year, how do you see, where do you see the demand coming from, and what kind of pipeline do you see pre- and post-election?
The focus of roads of government pre- or post-election would remain same. That is what we understand, because there is a lot of work being done and there is a lot of focus on building good infrastructure. And railways would be another area which will catch up. So these two are going to give major opportunities going ahead.
And what would be your guidance for order book for FY24?
So we should cross 20,000, you know, next year we should open with at least 20,000 crores plus. So we are having currently 18,000.
Right.
You know, we do work in this year.
Okay.
After deleting that, another fresh orders of around 8 to 10,000 you should be able to add.
Right. And in terms of working capital, what changes or what activities are we doing to reduce the working capital time?
So in the light of the growth in the top, execution, definitely working capital also will grow, requirement will grow. So that will, so today, today's level approximately would continue with a increased turnover of, like we have increased from 4,000 to 6,000 in this year, and then we expect to grow another at least 30%, 25 to 30% every year. So I think these levels of debt on the working capital side would be there for some for time.
Okay.
Subject to monetization of assets, probably this would go down.
Right.
So that will be surplus cash.
What would be your cost of funding, average cost of funding?
So this would be in the range of weighted average of around
9.25. So going forward, we assume that our interest cost would only increase going forward. Is that
right? So, no, so it should, it has already increased if you see the FY23
right.
numbers, which will continue to be remain same because the volume and the interest, so interest rates we expect to stabilize or probably move south. Volumes, if they continue, then I think so these interest rates would, the interest amount would continue to be approximately same or slightly go down.
Okay. And we also had an order which I think the government had given it to us, but then we were not qualified, so it was again put to bid for. So right now, why did we have the disqualification in the first place, and what is the current situation there? And do we have any projects from there?
So the UC, see, we have explained, we were debarred for 45 days because of the Patna bribery case. There is alleged allegation wherein our employees were implicated in that. So this 45 debarment period exactly came in between when this order was being, agreement was being entered. But they had to debar us, and it has gone for re-invitation of the bid, which we are eligible to bid now.
Okay. So we would be L1 there?
That is, that's a fair competition will decide. Yeah.
Okay. And in current pipeline, could you specify which all major projects are there?
So currently NHAI is very aggressive in coming up with lot of expressways and 4 to 6 lane projects. So we have a pipeline of around 72,000 crores. So we have identified around 30,000 crores we'll be bidding in by the end of this quarter.
Okay. And in power and railways?
Power and railway continues, opportunities are coming in. So railways is throwing another 20,000 crores around. So we'll be participating in various bids of railways. Power is very unpredictable. Like most of the states have bid before March. So maybe this quarter we may not see much power activity, but maybe next quarter onwards.
Okay. I think that's it from my side. Thank you so much for detailed answer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Anupam Gupta from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, a couple of questions from my side. Firstly, what is the equity commitment for FY 24 and 25 for the HAM projects?
So for the HAM projects which are going to be executed, the last three or four HAM major projects are which are pending for to be funded for 23-24 the amount would be 113 crores and for 24-25 it would be 56. So totally 169 crores which will be required for HAM projects.
Okay, understand. So the second question is, of this 15,800 crore of order book, what number would be under execution at this point of time and what is the balance?
So most of the projects are under execution except for a few projects on the bidding vertical which are not taken off due to back-to-back funding by the employers. Otherwise, all projects are in execution stage.
So the building, if you can you quantify what number and which are the projects which are yet to start off?
So it is basically Maldives project, which is around 1100 crores, is yet to start. Otherwise, all other projects are absolutely on.
Okay. Okay, and one more question. Now this the KKR deal is not happening. So what happens to the 1200 crore payout which we have to do to SBI Macquarie? Will that get linked to fresh bid, a fresh deal, or do you go ahead paying that still?
So the payment of 1200 crores is linked to monetization of assets. So any asset monetization only will give an opportunity for Macquarie to get its 1200 crores. So we are partners are working towards monetization. Though the KKR deal has fallen off, we are still looking at alternative potential investors, and we believe that as soon as these monetizations happen in this next 12 months, we should be in a position to give them exit. Basically, there is no talk or intention of giving them an exit without monetization done.
Okay, understand. And one last question. So the strong 22% toll revenue growth which you have reported, is that does it have some component of double sort of a toll which, let's say, because of FASTag not being there, or this is the actual number which is there in terms of revenue?
These are
actual numbers here.
Okay, but incrementally, so this year obviously you would have got high toll increase because of the inflation, but next year onwards, once the inflation normalizes, it should normalize, right? You don't expect that to continue for the next year as well, FY25.
Yeah, so next year expectation for inflation is around between the range of 5 to 7%. So keeping the growth in the mind, I think so we should, it may not be 22%, it will be definitely on the more than 11 to 12%.
So for this year, for these five projects, what was the toll rate hike, broad number?
Approximately for 22-23, it was around 10.5. On the toll rate rise. The balance was, yep.
Okay. And just one last question. What is your revenue guidance for this year?
So as we suggested, we would, based on the order book and new orders, we would target for a growth of 25 to 30%. We would try to see that.
Okay. Understand. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Mehta sir,
your guidance would be 20 to 25%.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Mehta sir, I would request you to mute your line, please. There is an airy disturbance on your line. Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Rikesh Parikh from Rockset Capital LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, wanted to understand on the digestion front, whether this Chennai ORR or Chaira Naigaon, we face the same kind of problem what we face with the first deal.
See, all these projects are at advanced stage of getting approvals. So we hope we'll be able to clear, you know, Chennai ORR by September it should be through. And Jaora-Nayagaon will go up to December. Because Jaora-Nayagaon was the last lesson which was signed.
No, even the first thing we are suggesting by first quarter of this year we will be able to go through. And we were not able to get the approvals from the NHAI. So just want to understand, do we have the same kind of concern over here in these two deals also?
The concerns are there because these are, we have to deal with states. And dealing with state is little slow. The whole mechanism is very slow. So we are taking a little time, but we think we'll go through all this.
And as you just previously in the question, you suggested that the exit to Macquarie is dependent upon the deal getting closed. So hypothetically assuming these two deals get closed, so would it mean that we will have to make a payout of equity component to them, partial exit to them?
Sorry, so whatever cash comes in, we would like to pay them off. Accordingly, that's how it will happen. So, if Chennai ORR and Jaora-Nayagaon give that much cash by December end, we will pay them off and it stacks up to 1200 plus, so then we will pay them off.
Okay. And last, does the deal changes because there is even delay in the repayment? So, there was some concession being given at that time of 1200 crores coming up to the figure. So, does the terms change by any chance?
No, I didn't follow, sir. What was that?
Revised IRR, means between the Macquarie and the deal at 1200 crores. So, does the same amount change too, or we have to pay more with the lapse, since there's a lapse of time?
So the understanding was that they would get a, so if we get a carry on the monetization of assets, we will pass part of it to them. So they will get some kind of an additional amount based on whatever we get. So typically it would be in the range of 8% rounds.
Okay. Thanks. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anant Mundra from My Temple Capital Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is around the exit that we are obligated to give towards to SBI Macquarie. So initially, before we had closed the deal, I think the amount was more than 1500 crores, the deal with KKR. Then it was renegotiated to 1200 crores. Now that the deal is off, I just want to be sure that the number still remains 1200 crores, right? There's no scope for renegotiation here. Is that assumption correct?
No, so explained just now, it will be 1200 crores plus any carry. The understanding then also was that 1200 crores plus any carry which we get from a monetization would be passed to them based on their 1200 crores investment. So that kind of understanding has been reached up, say, approximately 8%, which will be paid to them, based on what we get from the monetization process.
So from the monetization of only the BOT assets, whatever carry we get, or any kind of monetization?
BOT or HAM. It's finally it's an ACL bucket.
Okay, so there's an 8% basically carrying cost on whatever.
Could be, in the range of that. Yeah.
Okay. And so my next question is with respect to the NHAI premium and NHAI deferred payment liability on the 5 BOT assets. Can I have that figure, please?
Didn't follow. What was that? NHAI?
On the NHAI premium, on the liability side, there's an NHAI premium and an NHAI deferred payment liability on the 5 BOT assets. When we see their balance sheet. How much would that figure be at the end of March 23 for these 5 projects?
So there are only two major projects where deferment premium has happened. One is the Dhankuni project and Belgaum project. I think the total deferred premium there is in the range of approximately 700 odd crores. I'll come back to you offline on the exact amount.
And so because there has been a very good jump up in toll revenues in March 23 for these 5 assets, do we expect to continue providing funding support to these 5 BOT projects? or now all of them will be self-sufficient?
No, except for Sambalpur, all others are self-sufficient. Sambalpur will still need support, though they have got a, they already have a, ICE recommendation for increase in concession period by 6 years, which will take care of the project's IRRs. But in the short term, they will require cash still. Other projects could be self-sufficient.
All right. And sir, my final question is on two subsidiaries, namely I think Viva Highways and Viva Infrastructure. They are holding a lot of land bank, right? So are there any, is there some plans to monetize this or some kind of development that we plan to do ourselves on these land assets that are there in these two subsidiaries?
So we are looking at opportunities wherever it is possible. We would like to do that, but at the right opportune time, we will definitely monetize that, preferably through direct sale or a joint development process.
And so these lands are majorly in Nasik. Which geography are they?
They would be at Nasik, Pune, and maybe in MP, on the highway at Indore-Hyderabad, which we owned some time back.
And what is the book value of these land parcels that we hold?
I think it would be around 270 odd.
Okay. All right. That's it from my end. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vasudev from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So most of my questions are answered. I just had one question. If we look at a standalone balance sheet, the capital work in progress has gone up substantially in FY23. So what is the reason for that, and how much capex do we plan to do in FY24? Thank you.
So we did a capex of 81 crores in last year, and in this coming year, the capex would be in the range of another 80-85 crores, another 80 to 90 crores.
So, sir, if we see our CWIP as on FY22 was 17 odd crores.
Yeah, so that will be capitalized. These are for the new projects which have, we have started in the Kerala project. So accordingly, that will be immediately put to use and will be capitalized. Major capex required is for couple of these projects like the Kerala project.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Kanodia from HDFC Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, if I heard it correct, then your bid pipeline is around 70,000 crore, right?
Right.
Okay. And sir, on the MGL deal, so when do you expect to that deal to complete?
Which deal, sir?
MGL.
MGL deal. By between October, November, we should be able to close it.
Okay. And sir, with all this three deal expected to be completed in this year, what is the kind of cash that you are expecting in this year? And like the balance payment of the cash, or like what would be the breakup?
So, say approximately 450 crores in Chennai ORR project, around net 300 crores in Jaora-Nayagaon project, and 260 crores in the MGL deal. So that's the immediate cash which will come in. Then there are HAM projects.
End of FY24, right?
FY23-24, yeah.
Okay, and sir, like any spillover in the next financial year? Like what sort of amount are we expecting in the next financial year from this deal?
No, this will complete the deals as far as these three projects are concerned.
Okay, understood. And sir, on your margin front, I understand that you mentioned that for the first two or three quarters, you will be executing the lower margin projects, and in the Q4. You are expecting the margins to normalize. So on an annual basis, what sort of like if you were to give any guidance on a blended level, so what sort of number could we assume?
I think it will be in the range of between the range of 8.75 to 9.25.
8.75 to 9.25, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Those were my questions. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financial Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So have you removed any building order in this quarter? So last quarter, our backlog was around 3,000 crores and this quarter it is around 2,200 crores.
Yeah, Grand Fort Trust Hospital is what we have removed from the order book.
So Zodiac Hospital?
Grand Port Hospital in Mumbai. Okay. That order was not starting only, so that has been deleted by mutual understanding with the owners.
And value would be somewhere around 600 crore?
600, right, exactly.
Okay. Sir, secondly, what would be the current debt in the five BOT assets that were supposed to be sold to KKR?
Yeah, one second. This is only 2,700 crores.
And what would be the loss funding that would be doing expected in Sambalpur asset for FY24?
Around 60 to 70 crores.
And what was the same number for FY23?
Almost slightly lower, but almost similar number.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Seth Saurabh Gujar from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
So my first question is on the Bangladesh order. This $80 million project, so who is funding that? What type of pass-through agreements does it have here? When will the execution is expected to start and whether we have all approvals at place for this?
Yeah, here all approvals are in place. Work has already started and this is completely Exim Bank funded project.
Okay, and what type of pass-through we have here? Any in terms of some cost escalations or something, or it is a fixed cost agreement?
Pass-through is a fixed price contract.
Okay, and we are not hedged for FX or something, right? So it is a fixed cost. This USD $80 million is fixed.
Yes. Only advantage what we got is appreciation in the dollars.
Okay. And my second question would be on the other overseas projects. So any further update on those? Anything which we can expect to start, any movement?
Guyana has already started now. We have almost completed 6% of the work. And now there's a monsoon there. So post-monsoon, maybe after 2 months, that will pick up and move fast. Maldives is yet to start. So we're still hoping for clearance from Exim Bank because this was a bias credit project, a different nature of project. This requires approval from Exim Bank, particularly from insurance point of view. So this we are expecting maybe next quarter we should get.
So the question is regarding the debt structure. How is it? It is fixed, floating, whether it is linked to repo rate or bank rate. How is it?
So in the working capital side, almost everything is for floating with a certain debt of linked to bank rates, repo rate, and on the toll projects or the HAM projects. A few projects are linked to repo rate and otherwise most are linked to MCLRs, 3 months or 6 months MCLRs.
Okay, thanks. That's it.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Prem Khurana from Anand Rathi Shares. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. So my question
was, I'm sorry, sir, your volume is too low again. Can you please increase the volume or you can use your handset?
Hello, is it better?
Yes, sir. Please continue.
Yeah, sure. So, sir, my question was with respect to the KKR transaction which went through. So, just want to understand, I think in your comments you said the deal did not go through because you couldn't have approval from NHA because there was some issue with the concession agreement for Dankuniam in terms of COD and PCOD issue. Given the fact that we're planning to kind of recommence our efforts for these assets, and again, I'm assuming Dankuni, since it's a large project, it'll still be a part of the transaction. So do we have that comfort now? Have we been kind of made to believe by the NHA that this time around you will get to have it and the concession would be changed accordingly to kind of go ahead with the transaction?
So this time what happens, 2 years get completed on August 2023. So anyway, post-August, this issue doesn't remain.
Sure.
Yeah. So we are very sure that we'll be able to close this, getting NOCs in time.
But I mean, if that is the case, I mean, KKR could have stayed back for another few months. Right? I mean, they waited for this transaction for all this while, and you cancel it in the month of May, and August is, I mean, by when you would be able to have it even without change in the concession. So we couldn't convince them to stay back for another 2-3 months.
I think so it was more also related to their fund life. That's what we gather. So their also fund life was ending in August. That's what I understand. So that would be too close. I mean, my permissions would have started by August and we would have got it by, say, September end or October.
Oh, okay. Sure.
In the new set of deals, we will be able to pull it through once our negotiations are over and the NOCs will fall in line along with the August dates.
Sure, sir. Second question was, I mean, so when I look at the balance sheet, it seems as if I'm an SBI Macquarie payout, which was around 1200. This has gone to 1272 now. Am I right in my reading?
Correct. As I explained just now, 8% carry, which we have calculated from 1st July 22.
Okay. Sure. And so just, I mean, if you could help us with the revenue breakup for the quarter, please, I mean, in terms of segments, road EPC and road hybrid and the verticals.
You want it for the quarter?
Yes, a quarter.
So on the EPC roads, it was 1410 crores, 1410 crores.
Okay.
On the power front, it was 222 crores.
Sure.
On the railway front, 163 crores.
Okay.
And balance approximately, including all smart infra building, all put together, around 190 crores.
Just how much would be CGD and how much would be sale of...
CGD would be small, around say 8 crores. Pardon, what do you say?
No, CGD would be 8 crores, right? I mean, we also tend to have this sale of RMC. How much would that be?
Sale of RMC would be 56 crores. Okay. This is over and above the... So this is above what I said, 190 crores.
Okay.
So sale RMC is over and above 190 crores. So 56 is on RMC.
Sure. And 8 is a part. I mean, CGD is a part of that 190, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you, and all the very best for future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ash Shah from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
So can you give the revenue breakup for FY23 as well?
Yeah, for FY23, roads is 4,393 crores, power is 675 crores, railway is 640 crores, CGD is 51 crores, RMC is 217 crores, and other verticals 380 crores.
Okay. Also, how much have you invested in the CGD business till now?
CGD business, 67 crores.
67 crores. Okay. Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jitendra Petkar from JD Capital. Please go ahead. As the current participant is not answering, we move on to the next question, which is from the line of Parani Vijay Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Can you refresh a bit on the Chennai ORR and Jawaharlal Nehru project total value for us and how we get to say 450 and 300 for Jawaharlal Nehru?
So on the Chennai ORR, the total value which we'll get is approximately 650 crores, of which 450, which the 650 crores includes debt given by ABL to the SPV, that is shareholder loan. So Ashoka Buildcon will get 450 crores out of that monetization. And then the Jawaharlal Nehru project, Ashoka Buildcon will get approximately 500 odd crores, of which 180 crores is already drawn by Ashoka Buildcon from the SPV in the past. So net receipt would be around 300 crores.
Sure. And the Mahanagar deal, it will be a simple 51% on the total deal value.
Yeah, 531. So 51% of 531. And two.
Okay. And coming to the Dankuni project's COD, which is the reason why the deal kind of got cancelled. So just can you let me understand how this project, because it's been operational for quite some time, so how is this ECOD and COD still delayed for so long?
See, we had pre-COD long back, around 8 years back, but COD was delayed because some of the underpasses could not be carried out because of land acquisition issues. And this particular project, pre-COD, provision is not there. So commercial operation actually started from day one. This was a 4-6 lane project.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's the thing.
We could get COD only on completion of all the underpasses they finally could give us. And technically, since only COD condition was there, 2 years from COD is the timeline which they have to adhere to. For which we tried for relaxation through various forums, but we could not achieve that.
Sorry, if I understand right, the project has been collecting toll and been operational for 8 years, but we have not been able to get COD, final COD, because of land acquisition issues or these underpasses.
Correct, correct, correct.
And,
so it has nothing to do with the revenues part. Mm-hmm. Revenues we were getting full from day one. We got our revisions of toll in time. But a technical issue of getting project completion.
But that will now be obtained in August of 2023.
The COD we already got, and 2 years will be complete by August 23. So in August 21 we got the final COD. So 2 years from that date is August 23, after which they can permit us to sell our shares.
Right, but isn't it 1 year now, the new norm? For BOT projects.
New norms for 1 year, those were for model concession agreement. This was an agreement before that. So that correction again was to be done, which was in the process and could not be done.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, Andre.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akhilesh B., an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, please proceed.
Sir, what is the status of the project with NTPC?
See, NTPC almost entire land acquisition is in possession. Part of the land is yet to be transferred to NTPC. All the pre-work which has to be carried out, like doing piling and putting up the entire structures, doing entire cabling, 90% of it is over, and only ordering of modules for which we have given the LOA, and we are yet to finalize on the PO of the modules, which we would do in the month of June or July. And we have extension up to 2024 without any penalty to us.
And now do you anticipate any loss to us on the modules?
Yeah, since the given extension, we are negotiating for price variation with them. If we get price variation, then there won't be any loss. If we do not get price variation, only on ordering of module we will be able to identify what exact loss we need to book. But the prices are substantially corrected from the peak, and we expect them to, by June, July, they should come to our expected levels.
And sir, just want to reconfirm a couple of things. You mentioned that the funding support to these BOT projects is only to Sambalpur and is only 60 to 70 crores that you expect in FY24. Is that
correct, sir? Right.
And the deferred NHAI premium on these five projects is only around 700 crores in total.
Yeah, I will confirm back, but that's what I don't have the number offhand, but approximately that.
Yeah, 750 crores to be exact.
Okay. And you suggested that you are expecting a better valuation this time around for these bought assets compared to what we signed in 2021. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, seeing the revenues stacking more than what was considered at the time of valuation, when it was given in 2021, the model would be run in the same way. So definitely it threw up a substantially large variation to 1,337. In fact, 1,337, 2 years have passed of 2021 valuation, now it will become 2023 or 2024 valuation. So that kind of a yearly increase will definitely happen. And based on the traffic incremental and even WPI being more than which was there in the past, say, three or four years back, the valuation should be substantially better.
My last question is on the HAM disinvestment. So do you expect to close something by the end of Q1, or will it take much longer?
So we expect to sign a SPA. We are working on the SPA with the potential investors, trying to close it and try to do it as early as possible, giving a time frame of around 8 weeks time maximum. And then work on the projects which are already PCOD done and 6 months are over, where the permission is available, is possible, it can be given by NHAI. So some of the assets will definitely. Pardon?
We could avoid the issues, you know, like we had in the KKR transaction in terms of.
Here the SOPs of NHAI are quite clear and simple, so. And there are not much issues. There are not long-term issues also in these projects. These are hardly 2-year-old projects. So issues, and the NOC should be given faster.
So this would be comparatively much more straightforward.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ash Shah from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you just repeat the order inflow guidance for FY 2024?
Yes. So in road sector, we expect around 5,000 crore-7,000 crore, and others like railways and power and other buildings on the 2,000 crore-3,000 crore. So what we expect is around 8,000 crore-10,000 crore should be what we should be able to clock this year.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hari Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible, ma'am?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Okay. The first question is regarding this interest of 1,100 crore on consolidated debt of 6,900 crore. Like, are we paying a higher rate of interest or any other reason is there for these high rates? And also, the related question, is there any interest that is being capitalized in the books, sir? That is the first question.
Yeah. So, the asset is, there's an Ind AS policy which is being adopted for amortizing the asset and providing of the interest. So interest rate is in the range of, as I said, in the range of, 9%, 9%-10% for term loan assets, like, BOT assets, and, HAM assets are lower.
Is there any other debt than the 6,900 crore, sir? Because we are paying 1,100 crore of interest.
Maybe I'll just give you some time and come back.
Okay. Okay, sir. The second question, sir, this impairment which we have written back, like, once we resell it again, we will have to go for the impairments again?
So the moment of impairment was created by the reduction in the interest rate regime in the HAM projects 2 years back, within 2021. And due to that, valuations of HAM projects got impaired. Due to increase in interest rates in the past 8 months, these valuations have been reinstated, and whatever impairment was taken then has been reversed.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you,
We thank all the investors to have joined for the investor call. I know the couple of queries which would be required. We are free to answer them once on an offline basis. The details of our contacts are given in our presentations. So we are free, we are available to give any replies. And thanks again for joining the call.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.